This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to Africa News Tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carol Van Dam, and here's what's coming up.
I'm aware of specific cases where Al-Shabaab has closed wells, right? Denied population water supplies, and they do that to increase displacement, increase chaos, and raise their own effectiveness.
Also, Muslims in Tunisia struggle with soaring prices as they celebrate Eid, and climate change creates security challenges for African nations. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. The head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah el-Burhan, announced a 24-hour ceasefire on Wednesday to coincide with the Muslim holiday Eid el-Adha. He also called on the country's youth to join the fight against the rapid support forces. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Juba.
During his Eid al-Adha address broadcasted on the state-owned TV Tuesday, General Abdel Fattah el-Burhan announced a unilateral 24-hour ceasefire to allow the Sudanese enjoy Eid al-Adha festivities. He says his forces will continue to fight against what he termed as betrayal of the nation and restore stability in the country. Al-Burhan accused the rapid support forces of allegedly violating the rights of civilians in Khartoum, Darfur, and other parts of Sudan.
This outlawed group violates rights, attacks civilians in their houses, and uses them for their operations. They looted the property of civilians and destroyed the country's infrastructure and services. Up to today, they continue to kill, loot, and destroy property of the people.
The commander of the Sudan Armed Forces called on the country's youth to join the army and defend their nation against what he called internal and external conspiracies.
The ongoing conspiracy against our country demands vigilance and readiness to defend the threat against the country. Therefore, we ask all the youth of my country and all those who are capable of defending themselves not to hesitate or delay in fulfilling this national duty in their respective communities or by joining the military units.
General Burhan says the youth will be honored for safeguarding the Sudanese sovereignty. The head of the paramilitary rapid support forces, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, announced a 48-hour ceasefire effective Tuesday to allow Sudanese to celebrate Eid al-Adha. General Dagalo said his forces would remain in their positions and fight in self-defense if attacked during the truce period. He noted that his forces are committed to end the fighting and suffering of civilians.
My wish is that these days will be used for a genuine forgiveness and reconciliation among our people. We have a deep feeling of our people who are suffering and going through harsh humanitarian situations due to the ongoing fighting, which has affected their livelihoods. We are determined to end this war, hopefully strong and united once again.
The RSF commander says he is concerned about reports of human rights abuses committed by his forces against civilians. He announced the establishment of field courts headed by the Major General Essam Saleh Fidel to investigate the claims of abuses allegedly committed by the RSF. Sudanese activist Asad al-Tahir, who spoke to South Sudan in Focus from Niala town in South Darfur state, downplayed the announcement of the ceasefire by both warring parties. Al-Tahir says many Sudanese are displaced within the country or have crossed the border to the neighboring Central Africa, Chad, and South Sudan. He says few residents of Niala town who did not cross into Chad are living under harsh conditions.
Most of the civilians were depending on the monthly salary, and even those who used to depend on the daily casual work income are now sitting idle. People are unable to provide for their needs because they don't have money.
UN says 2.5 million people have been displaced within and outside Sudan since the onset of the conflict on April 15th. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
In the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo, war-displaced people are experiencing an alarming humanitarian situation in camps in and around the city of Goma. They receive almost no assistance. The organization Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, is calling for an international mobilization to help them. Zanem Neti Zaidi reports from Goma.
Afonsina Dusabe and her five children from Rumangabo in Rutshuru Territory have been living in the Kanyaruchinya camp for a year now. They have gotten aid only us. She says they arrived here in July 2022 and a short time later they received assistance. But since then they haven't received any else. To survive, she begs downtown. She says they have been abandoned around here. Placide Birihanze, in her 60s, is in front of his hut, built with torn tarpaulin. He says the situation drives many women to Virunga Park to search for firewood. Placide Birihanze says, as for the tarpaulin over his hut, it was his wife who fled their home with it. Today, the government is not helping them, and it has been almost 5 months since he received any assistance. Fura Sasu, the head of Doctors Without Borders, or MSF in the DRC, says the group has treated more than 2,000 cases of sexual violence since January. He calls for an international effort to respond to the needs in displaced persons' camps. He says most of the women, the treated women, are forced to leave the camp and their families to try to find food or wood outside, putting themselves at risk of sexual violence. He says MSF is urgently calling for greater mobilization and coordination on the part of all actors to set up a response to meet the needs. More than 100 different rebel groups are battling in the eastern DRC, trying to capture resources or territory. More than 600 people have fled rebel attacks in their home communities and are living in improvised camps around the city of Goma. For VOA Africa, I'm Zanem Neti Zaidi in Goma.
The president of the African Union, Azali Assoumani, warned that the destabilization of the region could lead all of Africa on the same path and urged the intensification of joint and active actions to reach solutions in favor of a peaceful and prosperous Congo. Assoumani was speaking yesterday in Luanda at the quadripartite summit of heads of state and government on the pacification of Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. For more than two decades, the region has suffered attacks by more than 100 different rebel groups seeking control of territory or resources in that country. He stressed the need for regional nations to coordinate their proposals for effective political, diplomatic, and security solutions that do not overlap. The meeting brings together heads of state and high-level representatives of regional blocs, including the Southern African Development Community, the International Conference on the Great Lakes Region, and the Economic Community of Central African States. Also attending are representatives of Burundi, Zimbabwe, Gabon, DR Congo, Rwanda, Comoros, Namibia, and the United Nations. A top U.S. Africa Command official says it's difficult to address climate change issues in African countries in conflict. AFRICOM has organized a symposium in Botswana where military representatives from 36 African countries are discussing the impact of climate change on security. From Gaborone, Botswana, reporter Mogondisi Dube has the details.
U.S. Air Force Major General Kenneth Ekman says in war-torn African countries like Sudan, climate change issues are forced to take a backseat with resources channeled to the conflict. Ekman is the Director of Strategy, Engagement and Programs for the U.S. Africa Command. He notes the extremist group Al-Shabaab also carries out attacks in Somalia and adjacent countries, worsening problems in the drought-stricken Horn of Africa region.
I'm aware of specific cases where Al-Shabaab has closed wells, right?
denied population water supplies, and they do that to increase displacement, increase chaos, and raise their own effectiveness within Somalia. So it's tragic, and that's where climate change is an accelerant for what they're doing. Somalia is an unfortunate case.
He says in stable countries like Botswana, there is time and opportunity to combat climate change. Ekman spoke to VOA on the sidelines of an AFRICOM conference on climate change with military representatives from around the continent. He says Africa is disproportionately affected by climate change, with conflict zones, particularly in the Horn of Africa and West Africa, the hardest hit. Susan Yonchi is the Regional Environment Science and Technology Officer at the U.S. Embassy in Botswana. She says the U.S. is committed to helping African countries fight challenges associated with climate change, including food and water security.
You know, the Biden-Harris administration continue to emphasize that tackling the climate crisis is a priority, not just globally, but especially here in Africa, given the vulnerabilities of Africa, African countries, to the impacts of climate change.
The delegates at the meeting, which concludes tomorrow, will come up with recommendations for governments on security threats that climate change creates. For VOA, this is Mqondisi Dube in Habroni, Botswana.
In Sierra Leone, President Julius Maada Bio was sworn in for a second five-year term just hours after the official results showed him defeating his main political rival with enough votes to avoid a runoff election. Despite concerns about violence after the hard-fought campaign leading up to Saturday's vote, the streets of Freetown are quiet today. Tunisia celebrates the Eid of Sacrifice today, and Muslims traditionally buy sheep to slaughter and provide poor families with meat. But even average Tunisians are struggling to buy sacrificial animals as purchasing power falls and inflation hits record rates. Reporter Noura Haveda has more from Tunis.
Tunisians celebrate the Eid al-Adha festival this year amid complaints about the deteriorating economy, with prices of sheep rising and purchasing power falling. Amir Harabi used to buy a sheep to sacrifice, not this time.
The price of sheep for this year has exceeded the citizens' ability. The price of an average sheep reached 2,000 5 dinars, which is more than the salary of an employee.
As a result, the market for selling Eid sacrifices seems like warm this year, with livestock prices out of reach of many families that cannot perform religious rites and celebrate the joy of Eid. Feed prices have driven up the cost of sheep, and there's a scarcity of supply. Many poor families will not be able to receive the denied meat of sacrificial sheep, and there's little joy among sheep sellers, as many expect to eat diamond. Mohammed Jami, a sheep seller, says drought and expensive fodder have driven up his expenses.
The price of a sheep is reasonable according to its cost of living. Whatever the sale price, we will not repay our losses this year.
Tunisians have launched social media campaigns to help struggling families buy Eid sacrifices. Activists urge people to buy sacrificial animals for needy families if they can afford it. Mohamed Wildrahala is the president of the Together Association for Citizenship and Change.
This year and even the previous year, the country witnessed a great shortage of fodder and the number of sacrifices, which resulted in high prices and in the inability of the citizens to buy sacrifices. We launched a project called Joy of Eid to help the handicapped and the needy families and children without social support.
Many people are sharing the cost of the sheep to distribute meat to their extended families. Meanwhile, Eid prayer and chants in the streets as people hope and pray for a better year. For Voice of America Africa, I'm Noura Haveda from Tunisia.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, head on over to voaafrica.com. There you will find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. UNICEF has been collaborating with Zimbabwe's public service and home affairs ministries to enable birth registration for children in hard-to-reach areas. Reporter Kudzinai Musengi has more from Bulawayo.
It is not uncommon to find adults and children without national identity documents in Jolocho District and other parts of Matabeleland and Midlands provinces. Birth records in some districts like Chipinge and Chimanimani in Manicaland were lost in the chaos following Cyclone Idai in 2019. 74-year-old Margaret Marandurenyati is a villager near Cholocha Center in Matabeleland North Province. She's one of the child care workers who works in a program to provide registration and documentation. It's run by Zimbabwe's Ministry of Public Service, Labor and Social Welfare with funding and technical support from UNICEF. Part of her work is to encourage and assist with the registration of children who, for various reasons, do not have birth certificates, including from separation or death of their parents. She says some of the children have been abandoned by their parents who have gone illegally to seek better lives in neighboring South Africa or Botswana. Others have been left behind as a result of divorce. She also assists orphans. The local UNICEF office says Zimbabwe has one of the most advanced civil registration systems in the region and its registration rates are rising. But 2019 statistics show that only 49% of the population was registered and this number dropped to 40% in rural areas. Smangele Ndebele, 50, is another childcare worker in Cholocho. She takes part in a campaign to raise public awareness about the importance of registering children at birth. She also seeks information about parents or guardians whose dependents are without birth certificates and talks to them. Some become hostile. Both Maranduri and Ndebele say their work is hindered by the lack of adequate resources, especially reliable transport, allowing them to reach all of the community. Nicholas Maposa is a resident of Mchina Village, Ward 10, over 70 kilometers northwest of Cholocho Center, where some of the San indigenous people are found. They are usually nomadic hunters with very little agriculture and most do not have documentation. Maposa is happy that the joint effort by UNICEF and government has enabled several school-going children to get birth certificates, saying many that lacked the documents were having problems proceeding with their studies. Cholocho District and other places in the Matabeleland and Midlands provinces were affected by the post-independence civil strife in which an estimated 20,000 civilians were killed by a crack army unit. In the aftermath, neither death nor birth certificates were regularly issued. Social Development Director Tawanda Zimunga of the Public Service Ministry acknowledges that communities in places like Cholocho lack the means to access birth registration centers.
For most communities, accessing registration centers is a major challenge as some members of the community are incapacitated to get to the registration centers. And the government, through the Department of Social Development, with the support from UNICEF, has availed an emergency fund to cater for such vulnerable persons.
The program, which started in 2021, aims to scale up registration in marginalized communities in the aftermath of COVID-19. The government of Sweden is providing funding for the effort. According to UNICEF's Eastern Southern Africa Regional Office, of 164 million unregistered children under 5 years worldwide, 91 million live in Africa and 52 million of these live in Eastern Southern Africa. With 40% of children under 5 having birth registration, the region has the least coverage in the world. Article 7 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children says every child has the right to be registered immediately after birth. This provides official recognition and a legal identity, which is key to enjoyment of all children's rights. Reporting for VOA from Bulawayo, I am Kudzanai Musengi.
More than 500,000 refugees in Kenya will not receive assistance from the UN Refugee Agency due to a severe lack of funding. Amid the tough conditions, a refugee-led organization in Nairobi called Youth Voices Community is helping thousands of refugees through education and business and learning new skills to earn a living. Yohamed Youssef has this report.
Funding shortages have caused UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, to reduce the assistance it offers to more than 570,000 refugees living in Kenyan camps and urban areas in recent years. The agency says as of June 15th, it has received only 31% of the $153 million required funding to adequately meet the needs of these refugees. In response, the urban refugees in Nairobi are learning new skills to survive and start their own businesses. They receive training in online product selling at the Youth Voices Community Center, a refugee-founded and led organization that empowers urban refugees. Founded in 2016 and in collaboration with other independent groups, at least 120 refugees have benefited from the business training in the past 12 months. Mirani, a Congolese refugee, is a new member of this class. Mamisa said that as a refugee, my life can change at any time. If I start my business, it can change my life. I can't continue to live like this. With authorization of the Kenyan government, at least 91,000 refugees have found shelter in urban areas where economic opportunities are scarce, even for the local population. Felix Njeri is a trainer for Youth Voices Community.
We want them to become self-reliant. And being self-reliant means that they either take up job opportunities or they either start up their businesses. And because of maybe the limitations that comes with maybe finding jobs in Kenya, so we are shaping them to begin to start their own businesses, because that way it is actually easier for them to be able to be self-reliant.
Nyerehumbi Janine is a refugee sharing a shop with a Kenyan. She says the training has helped her to improve her business skills. She says, when I go to the market, if I see a new blouse, I buy it thinking my customer will like it. But what I have learned is that talking to my customers and understanding their preferences, as well as not giving credit, I stopped giving credit. Most importantly, I learned how to save my money. The theme for this year's World Refugee Day is Hope Away From Home, and this hope is being encouraged here in Kenya. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
A United Nations Security Council vote to end a peacekeeping mission in Mali known as MINUSMA was postponed to later this week due to ongoing talks. The French news agency AFP says the vote, which was scheduled for Thursday, was postponed to Friday, the last day of the mandate for MINUSMA forces. This due to ongoing discussions between members of the council and Mali. Germany's defense minister said today that Berlin is looking to pull its 1,000 troops out of Mali faster in light of the planned withdrawal of UN peacekeepers after June 30th. On June 16th, Mali's foreign minister asked the 13,000-strong force to leave without delay. The United States, which said it regretted the Malian decision, called for an orderly and responsible withdrawal. Reuters News reported yesterday that a draft Security Council resolution proposed by France would end the UN peacekeeping force in Mali on June 30th and withdraw its peacekeeping mission within 6 months of that date. Mali would like the complete withdrawal to be completed sooner. And that wraps it up for this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Jackson Musangamani, and our engineer, Bob Bass, thanks for joining the Voice of America.